We read this morning the word of our God as it comes to us in the book of Isaiah, and we read chapter 55. Isaiah 55. And there the infallible word of our God says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk, without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord, while he may be found. Call ye upon him, while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." Amen. When you would travel from here to the Interstate 287, and you would turn left before you cross the highway, you see a huge sign: "Do not enter wrong way." If you would see this sign before you take this wrong turn, you would feel startled, and you break, you turn, and you take the right way. But what if you don't see this sign, or you ignore it, and you do turn into this wrong way? Children, imagine that your father or mother is in the car driving into this wrong way, and you see on the interstate cars coming to you with 70 miles an hour. Your life is at risk. What can you do? If you are aware of this dangerous situation, you eagerly seek for an exit. You want to take a turn as soon as you can. Every second can be your last second. This, my friend, is also a metaphor of our life. We have taken the wrong turn. In our father Adam, we took the wrong turn. And that was not an accident. Deliberately, we took with our father Adam the wrong way. Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And yet, we took and we ate with our father Adam. And we fell in a state of rebellion. We chose darkness. We turned our back to God. And we went away from Him on the wrong way. And this was not an accident. This was rebellion against God. And this, my friend, is the state of man in his fallen state. It's like a fist of rebellion against heaven. We have chosen a way of wickedness, rebellion against God and his commandments. And my friend, every time we sin, we again ignore a warning signal of our Lord. Do not enter wrong way. And we put this aside and we continue. And every time we sin, we trample on the heart of a loving God. We abandoned God. And it would be so righteous if God would abandon us. And he did not abandon mankind. Immediately after the fall, God came with his wonderful promise in Genesis 3:15. Already there we see the beginning of the covenant of grace. God promises restoration. He is promising the seed of the woman. There is already the promise of Christ who would restore what we have damaged. Along the way of our life, God is giving many warning signals to take the exit, because we are by nature on this wrong way and we are in danger every second of our life. But God gives these warning signals. Take the exit. Do turn. Come back to me. Why would you perish, my friend? One of these signs is our text for this morning. And we will read this text together. Isaiah 55, verse 7. There we read, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." In the Old Testament, the Lord is giving promises for this future Messiah, the Christ, who would live a life of perfect obedience, who would restore, who would eventually pay the ransom to set sinners free. We will consider, when we look upon our verse, Isaiah 55, verse 7, a call to repentance. And we have two thoughts: the required repentance of a sinner toward God, and the promised forgiveness of God toward the sinner. Isaiah, his name is a sermon on its own. Jehovah is salvation. What a name this is. Already his name is telling about his sender. Jehovah is salvation. It's not a God who desires to destroy us. It's not a God who desires our misery. It's a God who finds delight in mercy A God who wants sinners to turn back to Him. A God who is so willing to grant salvation. The book of Isaiah is, well, you could say Isaiah is one of the most important prophets we have in the Old Testament. And we have 66 chapters, and basically you can divide the book into two sections. One section is chapter 1 to 39 that covers the period before the exile to Babylon. And then chapter 40 to 66 covers the time during and after the exile. The first section is very much about rebuke, warning, judgment. But the second section is full of promises. It's not without reason that Isaiah is sometimes called the fifth evangelist. Let's just see how this second section begins. In chapter 40, we read, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. What do we read in chapter 54? For a small moment I have forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, says the Lord thy Redeemer. So this second section of Isaiah is full of the gospel and promises and invitations. Come back to me. I will restore. I have hid my face, but I will show myself unto you. And you will see that I'm a God of mercy. And when we read in chapter 55, just the verse before our text, I think many of us, also the children, know this verse. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And we will focus on verse 7 that is actually telling us how we must seek and how we must come before the Lord. We don't come before the Lord to claim something because we deserve something. How do you come to the Lord? That is maybe for the children here, a huge question. I hear so often, come to the Lord, come to Christ. But how? How do I do that? Very important in coming to the Lord is that you come with repentance. You don't come to claim something. Repentance is necessary because the Lord tells us that we should come to Him with repentance. If we read the first word of verse 7, let, this is what we call a subjunctive mode. It's a mode of desire, of wish. So it's a recommendation, even stronger than that. It's an exhortation. Let, do it. The wicked. Now, when we read in the Bible about wicked people, you maybe think, oh, that's not for us. That is for the people who are in jail. Or that's for someone in my neighborhood he has done really, really wicked things. It's not for us. So often, when we are in church, we listen for someone else. Do you recognize that? When it is about wicked or sin, it's about someone else. It's not about me. But let's just consider this word a bit more in detail. Wicked, the word in Hebrew, means also hostile to God, an enemy of God, ungodly. Wicked in God's word means a man or a woman, a boy or a girl who lives without God. Then you are wicked. So this comes a bit closer. It's not about this person in church who has done very bad things to us some time ago. Again, then you listen to someone else. I plead with you, when the word of God comes to you, listen for yourself. It's about your soul. It's about your salvation. It's about the confession that Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. Do you know these personal pronouns in your life, in your heart? He is my Savior. And at the same time, if you read the word that is convicting sin, that you own it. Yes, that's me, Lord. That's my heart. My heart, by nature, is hostile to thee. I did choose a way without thee. Consider what God tells us about wickedness in Psalm 14, for instance. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all gone astray. They are all together become filthy. There is none that does good. No, not one. This, my friend, is God's perspective when he looks upon us. We can be, from the outside, perfect Christian. But God looks straight into your heart this very morning. And he will notice if it is a new heart or a heart of stone. When you live without God, you are ungodly. But let's read on. What should you do? Forsake. And forsake means to leave, depart from, abandon, neglect, give up. Being a Christian, becoming a real Christian, means that you need to give up things. It will cost you something, my friend. It will cost you your life of sin. So we are called to abandon. We are called in this verse to forsake, to turn, to give up. What do we need to give up? We read on. His way. Now, this way, as we started this morning, is also used in the Bible as a metaphor. Your way of life. How you are. What you do. What you think. What you say. It's just what you are doing all your life. Your manner, your course of life, that's also direction. What is the course of your life? What is your destiny? Are you on track? So this metaphor is used also in Scripture. And this way will lead, this way of wickedness will lead to destruction. So we have considered together the portrait of a fallen man. And we have just read the law of God. And that is also a mirror to us, to see ourselves as we are before him. But not only that, it will bring us to the point that we flee to Christ. That we plead for God, to God for mercy. Our own righteousness, our self-righteousness, will not last. If we think and if we believe that we are righteous in ourselves, we make a fool of ourselves. And there will be a day that this righteousness will vanish if we are before the judgment seat of Christ. We should speak the truth in love. My friend, if you still rely upon your own righteousness, you will have no single answer to 1,000 questions before the judgment seat of Christ. Children of God, this is also important to us to consider. We know that we have been brought from this way on the narrow path. We know that we are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. But you can be sure that you will be under attack. When you are the possession of Christ, you will be under attack, and Satan will do everything he can to bring you back on this way of wickedness. Be watchful and stay on the narrow path. Examine yourself. Are we backsliding? Have we become lukewarm? Did we fall in sin? The old Dutch divines used to say, an ungodly man lives in sin, but a child of God can fall in sin. If that is applicable to you, my friend, then listen carefully. Every time you sin, you are a practical atheist, as if God does not exist. As if God has not said to you, thou shall not. And you trample the loving heart of God the Father. To all of us, God calls us to turn, to give up our wickedness, to give up a life of sin and rebellion, and to surrender, to return to him, to receive eternal life. We read on, and the unrighteous man, so we have considered the wicked, and now we read about the unrighteous man. Well, the Hebrew means evil, false, mischief, unjust. So actually, wicked and unrighteous are synonyms. They are words to describe the same man or woman who lives without God. Nowadays, it has been of all ages, but it seems that it is more present nowadays, many tell us, especially younger people, do whatever you want. I've once seen t-shirts with YOLO. You only live once. In other words, make most of it. Enjoy whatever you can. There is no limit. There is no God. There is no commandments of the Lord. Do whatever you think is pleasant. Seek pleasure. Seek your own things. And then you deny the truth of the word. And you also deny the text of this morning where God says, if you are wicked, if you are unrighteous, turn back to me. You know what the ultimate wickedness is. The ultimate wickedness is knowing the truth of Scripture, knowing about the way of salvation, having heard the call of the gospel, my son, my daughter, give me your heart, and rejecting it, tramp on it, insist in a way without God, a life without God. That, my friend, is ultimate wickedness. Now, we have considered criminals wicked and righteous, but when we read on, we read about the unrighteous man who should forsake his thoughts. It's not about what we do and say only. God goes even further. Your thoughts. If your thoughts of the last week would be projected here behind me, if it would be my thoughts, I would not dare to stand here. God knows our thoughts. He knows us and our hearts. Who is not guilty? But the text doesn't stop here. The word continues. And let him return. That is the purpose of the first words we have considered. The purpose is to let you turn, to make you return. Come back. Convert. The Dutch word for repentance and conversion has it in it already. It has the word turning. Conversion, repentance is about turning around 180 degrees, taking the exit on the way of wickedness and move unto the narrow way. The narrow way that leads to heaven. Have you never done this before? And this morning, the word comes to you. Return unto the Lord. Come back to him. The God who gave you life is the God who is willing to give you eternal life, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness, to give you the righteousness of Christ as if you have never sinned before. When we are backsliding, when we are lukewarm, the word comes to us. Return, my friend, return to your first love. Return to him who drew you with cords of a man, with bands of love. Did the water of life not satisfy you? Was the bread of life not feeding you? Was God not merciful to you? Did he not answer you when he cried out to him for mercy? Return to God. Unto the Lord, the eternal God, the Jehovah, a God of righteousness, a God who cannot just forget sins. He is righteous. Punishment on sin has to be paid for. This command that comes to us tells us that we should not procrastinate. Don't think, my friend, I believe this, but I will do it when I've graduated. I will do it when I've renovated this house. I will do it when I retire. My friend, do you know there will be a tomorrow? This is a matter of life and death. Today. Let today be the day that you return unto God. For the first time or again. Come to yourself. We did say, what is conversion? What is repentance? Now, one aspect of it is that you become honest. Honest before God. That you don't hide anything from him anymore. That you are willing to confess to him and bring it all before him. That you become honest for yourself and honest to your neighbor. Come to yourself like the prodigal son. I will arise and go to my father. Seek him, my friend, while he may be found. He is near today, here, at this very moment. God calls for repentance, but in one breath He gives a promise, a wonderful promise of mercy and grace. Let us read on. And he will have mercy upon him. Mercy, compassion, love, forgiveness. Oh, we can cling to these words. He will. When God promises something, he will do it. God is a God of integrity. His promises stand forever. Children, if your father or mother would promise something, you will believe it, but there is still a very small chance it will not happen, because your father or mother cannot do it. But it's not so with the Lord. The promises of the Lord are yes and amen. They are 100% sure. That is the ground you can stand on for the day and for eternity. The promises of God are true. He has integrity. He does what he says. He will have mercy upon him. Like we said before, God cannot just forget our sins, for he is righteous. And we know that the punishment of sin was upon Christ. He bare the wrath of God. And we read that also in several parts of Isaiah. And when God did punish Christ, and he bare the wrath of God, we receive the righteousness of Christ. And Luther called this the joyful exchange. My unrighteousness, my filthy sin, my wickedness is put upon Christ, and his perfect righteousness is put upon me, as if I have never sinned before. And then, my friend, God forgets. And he doesn't forget like we do. We still remember somewhere in our mind what someone did to us, even after we forgive him. But not with God. He will throw your sin in a sea of eternal forgetfulness. It is not there anymore. That is his mercy and his forgiveness. To our God, you need to return to our God. Do you notice that the text says, our God? Is he your God? Do we know God? And I'm not asking you, do you know about God? Do you personally know, experientially, God? Do you see the hand of God in your life? Have you received his grace and his mercy? Do you know of having a heart of flesh? Is your life a living sacrifice to him? Do you know God? Is he your God? For he will abundantly pardon. Abundance that is overflowing. There can be no sin or no wickedness or no unrighteousness so bad, and God can forgive it. The abundance of grace is overwhelming. If you, my friend, would have all the sins of this earth, that is mercy. There is forgiveness. There is power in the blood of Jesus. He will abundantly pardon. Not just enough, abundantly. This also means continues to forgive and pardon. And children of God, you know that every day we have these evil thoughts and we fall and we regret that we are not perfect yet. This old man is in our bosom. he will abundantly pardon. So Calvin called this the daily conversion. Every day we need to come back to him, confessing, forsaking our sin, and pleading for mercy. And he will abundantly pardon again and again. God's delight is in mercy. He is slow to anger. His delight is that a sinner turns to him for the first time or again. He will abundantly pardon. He will forgive. He will spare. Doesn't this warm your heart, my friend? What else should warm your heart? Here we hear the heartbeat of the love of God for sinners. He does not forsake us. He calls us back to him, into his arms, and he tells us, and he is promising forgiveness and pardoning of sins. What a contrast with our sinfulness and his forgiving willingness. And why? Let us just read chapter 53. Just turn with me to chapter 53. There we see how God can be merciful. Verse 5 and 6. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That is how God generated forgiveness and mercy. The punishment was upon him. Therefore God can be merciful and pardon sins. He took reasons out of himself. There is no reason in us that he would look upon us with love, loving kindness, and mercy. It's his pleasure to pardon sinners. And what a contrast, that's what we see in verse 8. Why would God do this? We will never fully understand in this life. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. What a contrast. The way of wickedness of a sinner against the way of the eternal, holy, righteous God. Our thoughts, what is in our thoughts? Against the thoughts of the holy God. We will never be able to match these two. It's like here God is telling us, you will never fully understand. In heaven we will understand. But now we can only marvel at his grace and goodness, his mercy, his loving kindness, his patience. How many signs did you pass, my friend, on a way of wickedness? How many times did God call you back to him? And how many times did you keep on moving? I have to tell you, everyone that persists on the way of wickedness will end in a place of wickedness. There is no speed limit on the highway to hell. Satan wants us to increase our speed. He wants us to move on. He wants our destruction. All our destruction. If you keep on ignoring the invitation of the gospel, the open arms of a loving God, if you keep on moving into the other direction with your back toward him, if you keep on living a life in darkness and wickedness, there will be a day that he will not show mercy upon you, my friend, but he will show you his wrath. There will be that day that he will not pardon abundantly, but he will punish you abundantly. It is today, the day of grace. Right now, Right here, God speaks to you. My son, my daughter, turn back to me. There is forgiveness. There is power in the blood of Christ to cleanse you from all your iniquities. Everything you've done, everything you've said, everything you have thought can be cleansed in His blood. And what does it mean to be pardoned? What does it mean to know personally of this turn, this repentance, this conversion? It means that you become a godly person. You have a heart of flesh. You will desire other things. The things you used to love, you begin to hate. The things you used to hate, you begin to love. From a rebel, you become a servant. From a hater of God, you become a child, a lover of God. And your life will be a life of sacrifice, serving Him. This fist that was lifted up to heaven turns into an open hand, pleading for mercy. And God will not send you away when you do that, my friend. When you have this in your life, but you moved on and you did have other objections, other objectives and other plans in your life, and you did forsake again your God, turn back to Him. Do you count His blood an unholy thing? There are two ways in life, and there is no third way. There are only two destinations. There is no third destination. Do examine yourself. On which way are you? Make sure, my friend, that today is the day you turn to Him and plead for this mercy and receive this abundance of pardon. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. There is no one too wicked. There is no one too unrighteous. There is no sin too bad to be cleansed. Christ's righteousness is sufficient. Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." And didn't we also read that in this chapter this morning? The invitation to come to the waters, even without money, buy and eat. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread? What are you spending your money on? Come to Him. Return to Him. And then one day you will go out with joy, like we read in verse 12, and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. And listen, instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree. And it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Then you have future, my friend. Will you be there on that day when we may see Christ and we may see the marks of the cross on His feet and hands, that you may embrace Him and may say, "My Lord and my Savior, Thou did pay for my unrighteousness, and we had this exchange. We received Thy righteousness. Thou did call us back from our wickedness. Thou did call us out of darkness into the marvelous light. Glory be to Him." For one last time, my friend, when you do not know this in your life, listen, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God in heaven, thou art a God of mercy, a God who is willing to forgive sinners, to cleanse us by the blood of Jesus Christ. We give thanks for thy word that came to us this morning. We can only bring it to the ear. Lord, we pray, bring it into our hearts. May it resonate in our soul. It shall not return unto thee void. We plead upon thy own word. Work in all our hearts this work of salvation. Give us eyes to see the Savior of sinners. We pray, bring us back this afternoon in thy house, around thy word. Forgive us our many sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.